Hello, and welcome to the Mosaic Portland podcast. Mosaic exists to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world. We come together on Sunday as one church in two locations in Northeast Portland and North Portland. Come join us at one of our gatherings. For times, how to find us, and more information, visit our website at www.mosaicportland.org. We look forward to worshiping with you. Here's this week's talk.
Jesus, we look to you and we sing to you and we sing of you as our light, as the light of the world, as the one that gives life. And in this season in particular, would you draw our attention? Would we focus our hearts and our minds on you? Holy Spirit, would you help us to do that in the midst of all that swirls around us, in the hectic nature of this season and schedule? Would you speak to us, and would we hear your voice? And Jesus, would you be at the center of all of it? Would you hold our attention? And would you give meaning and new meaning to this season? We worship you in this place and this time and want to meet you in it. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So good to be with you this morning. My name's Tim, and I'm the lead pastor here at Mosaic. And as Jason just shared a few moments ago, this is the beginning of Advent, and we want to actually practice Advent and experience Advent in some new ways this year. Advent is a Latin word that means arrival, the coming of something or someone. And so we're focused on the birth of Christ in this season, his Advent, his first coming. And we're doing a few things differently. We typically decorate in this season, and so we've done that again. This year we're lighting candles. We've done that in the past. We don't do that every year. A reminder of who Jesus is in different ways as we light one each week, as we hear from some within our community that answer that question of how's God been with you? How's God been Emmanuel? How's Jesus been with you this year? And then another thing that we're doing different is we're gonna change our talk time or our teaching time. We usually spend about 30 minutes opening up scripture together, and I'm going to work really hard to stick to our commitment of about 20 minutes. You might have voted for 10, but we've compromised with 20. So if you're used to maybe a homily in your background of 8 to 10 minutes, and this is somewhere in between. But what we want to do in our time in Scripture each of these four Sundays is look at the birth story, the birth narrative of Jesus. For many of us, it's something we're very familiar with. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2, which is perhaps the most commonly read. This morning I want to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. If you've got a Bible, you can turn there. What I want to do is look at these few verses, and then I want to give you a few suggestions. I've got four suggestions on how to experience and practice Advent this year. So Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says this: "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" I think I've remembered this correctly, but I think I've gotten 6 tickets in my life, driving tickets. I don't count the one where they just took a picture and mailed it to me. They didn't put any effort in that one. That one doesn't count. I've gotten 6 that I count. Of those 6, I think 3 were speeding tickets. If you've ever gotten a speeding ticket and had to pay for it, you've probably experienced something like what I experience whenever I see flashing lights in the mirror behind me while I'm driving. My body tenses up. I can't tell you if my heart stops or it speeds up. I'm just not sure. My stomach drops. I do know that. I feel like I'm in in trouble. I straighten up in my seat, and as if that's going to help my cause in some way. But and regardless of if it's an ambulance that speeds by, or if it's a police officer looking for somebody else, or I'm getting pulled over, I still feel the same. Like I've done something wrong, and I've been caught, and the worst is about to happen, and I don't have the money to pay for whatever it's going to cost. That's all of that races through my mind, and the numbers just starts turning over. That's a little bit like what the shepherds would have felt. They would have felt like they were caught, like they were in trouble. Shepherds were not good dudes. We don't talk about that a lot, but just not good guys. They would steal from one another regularly. That's just kind of known. Maybe we don't talk about it a lot. When Jesus says he's the good shepherd, he's very different than many shepherds. Shepherds were not good dudes, and when a light shows up and beams on them in the middle of the fields where they've been living with their sheep, it's that they're being pulled over by a cop. They've been caught, and they know that they're in trouble. And the angel says to them first, don't be terrified. You're terrified. You're scared, and rightly so. Like, kind of fascinating why God didn't do that in a different way. He freaks them out first, and then he says, don't be terrified. And so the angel says, don't be terrified. And then he follows up, not with just don't be terrified, but then he says this thing. He says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy, and it's for all the people. So I don't know if you've ever had someone tell you something that has got your hopes up or raised your expectation. I found the best new food cart. It's awesome. It's nearly free. It's so inexpensive. It's the best food, and no one else knows about it. When can we go? Like that sounds great. Or, hey, I've got the perfect guy for you or perfect girl for you. I know you've been interested in dating someone, and I found him, and it's the one, and you're going to get married and have kids and be happy and, you know, probably become a king and queen somewhere. And, I mean, it's going to be great. It's, wow, okay, expectations go up. I had this happen to me just this past week for Thanksgiving. My wife, Abby, her sister came into town, as she often does, and for Thanksgiving, and she came in this year again and took our three boys out for an afternoon and came back and said, we had the best ice cream ever. And so you know where they went, right? Salt and Straw. If you don't know about Salt and Straw, you haven't been there, you may get evicted from Portland. You have to go. It's like a requirement, I'm told. And so she said, it's the best ice cream ever. It's going to change your life. You have to go. And my boys are pretty indiscriminate when it comes to ice cream. It's ice cream. They'll take it. So sure, yeah, it's the best. Let's go. So we went down there Friday night and parked the car. And I checked before I got out of the car. It was 37 degrees. So naturally, we need to go buy ice cream. And so we get out of the car and we go stand in line outside. And I'm boring. I'm really trying to have a good attitude. This is ice cream. It can change my life. I'm certain of it. It's going to be great. And we're going to be inside pretty soon. And sure enough, we got inside. And I just started observing everything that was going on in Salt and Straw. We were down in Division. I know there's a few of them. We're at the Division one on Friday night. And it was warmer than 37 degrees inside. So that was good. And I'm watching everybody and what they're doing. And there's some people that have been there before and they're just telling those around them like, oh, this is the best. You won't believe it. Like evangelizing, come on, stay in line. And then you've got other people that you can tell are a little resistant. Like, I'm not quite sure this is going to meet my expectations. I mean, it's ice cream after all. Can it really be this good? I'm standing in line. I'm trying to be a good sport and get into it and experience it. And while giving up my evening, and I look and I pick out my flavor. If you don't know the ice cream at Salt and Straw, it's like, it's ice cream that's good, but then it's got really long names. And so I picked out like strawberry with honey, with cracked pepper and raccoon meat. That was the one I picked out. And I said, I'm going to go for this one. I'm going to take a test. I'm going to buy it. I mean, we're waiting in line, the anticipation, the expectation, the hope that it's going to be that great. We know what that's like. And we've had times when our expectations have been met, and it's been fantastic. We've had other times when we've been really disappointed. And so we can relate to the shepherds when they hear the best thing they could possibly hear. I mean, you can't say it any better than that. I've got good news for you. I got good information for you. It's going to change your life by giving you great joy. And it's not going to be you, but it's going to be everyone. I mean, Come up with a better statement than that. You can't do it. It's the highest. And so some of the shepherds are like, finally, this is good. And others were like, I'm not sure I'm buying into this. I've been disappointed before. I don't know that I want to hope again. That's where they were at. The angel then reveals what is the good news that will cause great joy for all people and says this in verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ or the Messiah. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. We hear that and we're very familiar with it. Many of us, at least, are very familiar with that sentence and the story. And we hear baby and we see manger in our minds and we know what the nativity scene looks like. And so we hear baby, and then the shepherds wouldn't have heard baby. I mean, they would have heard it, but that's not what would have filled their ears and consumed their mind at that moment. They would have heard Savior, Messiah, Lord. They would have heard deliverer, rescuer. We're going to be rescued. The Savior is going to rescue us from our enemies. He's going to protect us. They're ruled by the Roman Empire that occupied them at the time, and they dreamed of being free. They said, you're going to be rescued. And then they heard Messiah or Christ or the Anointed One. And when a priest or a king came into position, they were anointed. And so plenty of people had been anointed throughout history at that point. And yet this was the Anointed One, the one that their parents and the grandparents had talked about, that the scriptures foretold about, that the Anointed One will arrive. And that's why when they heard Lord and they heard good news connected to Lord, it just put a pause in them. And they all stopped and went, really? For us, we hear good news and we hear those two words, good and news. And if you've been around Mosaic any amount of time, you've heard those equated with the term the gospel, which is the whole story of Jesus and his grace offered to us. But those words, good news, in this part of the story would have meant something different to the shepherds. See, those two words together, in fact, in the original language, they were very specific and they were set aside for one use and one use only. Those terms, that term, good news, would have meant one thing. And the one thing that it meant was the announcement of a new Caesar. That term, good news, meant a new Caesar has come into being, into power. The Caesar who's the ruler of the Roman Empire, that the ruler of the known world at the time, the one who was oppressing the shepherds and their people in Israel. Good news meant that there was a new King Caesar. And yet it wasn't being used in this way. It was actually being used to talk about a new king coming. And so the good news that the shepherds heard was that God has become king and is with them now in a new way. That yes, it's a baby, but God has now come into being with them, has taken on flesh, has arrived, the Savior, the Anointed Messiah, the King. And it caused great joy. We spent a few weeks earlier this month as a church family talking about our dream and hope of being a more joyful people, of wanting to practice being joyful as a community. And one of the things that we said is that joy is a deep sense of well-being, and it is that. But it's also more than that. It's not just a mental agreement or an awareness of I'll be okay even though my circumstances are unsettled, that I'll be okay now and forever. It's actually even more than that. And the way that it's more is what we see in the angel's announcement. That God has actually entered into their existence, to their world, to taken on flesh as a baby, been born as a human. Joy, and I got this definition from a friend and mentor of mine who's part of our teaching team here, Paul. He said this. He said, joy is the result. Joy is the result of being loved by someone you love. Joy is a result of being in a relationship. Joy isn't just an awareness that all is well. It's actually connected to another person. You see, our souls aren't joyful because things are good. Our souls are meant for relationship. And so our souls actually have to be in relationship with someone who loves us, that feels the same or more for us than we do for them. And the reason the angel's statement is true, that this good news, the announcement that God has become king, brings great joy is because God has come into our midst and taken on flesh. And so the good news that God has arrived as king in the person of Jesus brings great joy because it's God demonstrating his love for me and for you. And so there's joy in that. It's what we're meant for. It's what we were created for. It's what we're designed for. It's what our soul longs for, is to be loved by the one we love. And so it causes great joy, and it's for all people. And just have to look at the specifics of the story to realize it's for all people. It's not just for those who qualify. It's not just for those that are accepted or arrived or achieved something. It's for the guys that just aren't good dudes. It's for the shepherds who lie and cheat and steal and live out with dirty, smelly, dumb sheep. It's for 20-year-olds that walk around with their bride-to-be who's already pregnant. And it's for their 15-year-old bride-to-be who's pregnant and yet has never had sex. It's for the people that are present in what I read described as a tent village this past week. It's a temporary dwelling where they give birth and place the baby in a manger. No one's going to sleep there the next night. It's not meant for that. It's a temporary place. The simple story tells us that it's for all people. And Jesus being born in a tent village reminds me of the exploding homelessness that we experienced as a city last summer. That everywhere you looked, the little pockets of grass around the freeway on-ramps and off-ramps, people are setting up a place to live because they're in need and they don't have enough and something's not good about their life. And now it reminds me of the way stations, the refugee camps that are stopping points for people fleeing a war-torn, struggling, desperate place to live in the Middle East and trying to get to Europe. And regardless of what you've seen or heard and what you think about that migration that we haven't experienced in 60 years as a world, it's people fleeing a place they don't want to be, and they're now displaced and struggling. And what we're reminded of is that the world is not as it could be. That while the king has arrived, everything is not put back together. And we realize that while there's good news that causes great joy, and it is for all people, we're still in an in-between time. We're in between the arrival of the king some 2,000 years ago that we've just read. And yet he's coming again in a new way to make all things right, and we're in this in-between time. And this particular time of our in-between time, we call Advent. And it points us back to this part of the story where God took on flesh and sent his son Jesus to become fully God and fully man, fully human. How do we practice this in-between time? How do we practice this Advent season? There's two parts of it. One is that we're waiting. We're waiting till it's all made right. We're waiting for the king to fully return in the future and make all things right. And we're waiting, but it's not a passive waiting. It's actually an active waiting. We're not to sit by and just wait, but we're to wait in such a way that we're a sign. The angel said that the shepherds could know the sign that Jesus has arrived by going and finding him in a manger wrapped in cloths. We don't have a baby wrapped in cloths today. We have a different kind of sign. It's you and I. As followers of Jesus, you and I are the sign today. And so we actively wait in this Advent season because we are the sign. Here's two ways that we can actually actively wait. One is that we can be a different kind of people. And in so doing, we can be a sign. We can be a sign of a different way of life. Jason mentioned earlier a gal that was working, I think he said it was at Target, who had worked, was going to work some, what sounded like 5 days straight so that a bunch of other people could come in and get great deals on stuff. And there are great deals out there, no doubt. My email inbox tells me that there are, and if I don't take advantage of it, I'm a fool. And so one way we can actively wait is by being fools, is by saying, I'm not going to dive into that stream that is present in our culture today. I'm gonna step aside from that. And so rather than just spending wildly in this season, that we pull back and not spend as much, that we find different ways to give to those that we want to give to. And giving gifts is a great thing. And actually spending some money and giving gifts is a great thing. But what if we were to live as a different kind of people and not spend as much? And then even some of that money that we had planned on spending, that we take it and we give it to those in need. And we've been doing that for the last number of years here at Mosaic, and we've got red envelopes, and we take some of the money that we don't spend on gifts, and we put it in the envelopes, and it goes to those that are in need. And so that's one way to actually actively wait and be a different kind of people. Another way is to actively wait in this season of Advent is to condition our minds. is to let our minds be shaped by not all of the messages around us that are available, but by letting our minds be shaped by a particular message that's found in Scripture. And maybe you read Scripture on a regular basis, or maybe you don't. But I'd like to invite you to actively wait in this Advent season by reading a portion of Scripture every day. In print in front of you in the worship folders are an outline of a passage for every day of Advent. You've got the first seven in front of you right now. That you would take time in the morning, or maybe at lunch break, or maybe in the evening after you're done with Netflix, and the very last thing you do before you turn the light off is you just read a section of Scripture. And let Scripture begin to shape your mind and your heart of how you view the world. Those are two ways to actively wait in this Advent season. Let me give you two ways to celebrate in this Advent season. To celebrate who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Here's the first. As you see and hear and experience everything that is around you this season, and there's so much. There's decorations everywhere. There's music everywhere. There's so much to take in as we go through our days and our weeks leading up to Christmas. Here's one way you can celebrate. As you can begin to practice the discipline of distinguishing which of those things are connected to our cultural holiday of Christmas and which of those things are connected to the story of Jesus and his birth. What are things that we've just made that are decor, ornaments, music that's fun, ways that are great at experiencing the festive nature of this holiday. And it is, it's good. But to identify what is the holiday part separate from what is the Jesus part? What is part that tells us a story? When you hear the name of Jesus in a song in a coffee shop where nobody even realizes what's going on, but you hear the name of Christ. Or if you see a word on a sign that points to Jesus, or if you identify a nativity scene that actually is telling the story of God becoming flesh, to celebrate that. Say, that's my story. That's the story for me. That's the story that brings me great joy. Begin to distinguish those two things. We don't need to debate or degrade what is part of the holiday. We can still enjoy that, but to actually celebrate the parts that are connected to Jesus. And here's the second way we can celebrate. It's by taking communion. And that might seem kind of odd. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but it might be more comfortable for us to not practice communion during these 4 weeks of Advent. And the reason being is because we're telling the story of a baby. And it actually is a little odd. Maybe you've not thought about this before, and it might feel a little odd to think about it now, that we're actually going to take part in an act of celebration that's a practice that's talking about the death of that baby that grows up to be a man. But in doing so, what we're actually doing is experiencing God's love for us. That God sent his son to be born as a baby, to grow up to be a man, to be executed and die on a cross, to save the world, to be a king in a very different kind of a way. And so I want to invite you to celebrate Advent by practicing communion. By walking forward to one of the two tables upstairs, or the two tables, we usually have three, we have two tables now in this season. And to take a piece of bread and dip it in the juice, representing Christ's body broken and his blood shed. And in so doing, experiencing the great joy that comes for all people because of the good news of who Jesus is. And so we're going to continue to sing. And as you're ready, I invite you to come to one of these tables before you this morning.